Welcoming everybody to this week's All Lions podcast, made possible thanks to Sports Illustrated and Fan Nation. I am the Doc, John Macaroon. This week, Logan Lamarendier is back. We have to break down all the news surrounding the Detroit Lions, an upheaval in the coaching staff. The Lions sent a coach down to the Senior Bowl, taking a quick look at what happened down in Mobile, Alabama. But boy, this week was an eventful week for the Detroit Lions. And you look at everything that happened in 2022, it would have been nice if the Lions could have ran it back with everybody involved. But it just doesn't work that way. And I think Dan Campbell highlighted that when he spoke to the media in his season-ending media session. He said, look, this is going to be a new team. And many people obviously thought that meant, you know, the 30% turnover that tends to happen with rosters. But this week, you had two coaches now in regards to the Lions, two breaking news stories. And Logan, I want to get your sense of the first one. What is going to be the impact of the Lions losing Deuce Staley? Because it came out of the blue. By all accounts, the coaching staff, after the dismissal of Aubrey Pleasant, kind of had a feeling like it really gelled. It was a tight-knit group that had been battle-tested, lots of former NFL players that had been through some things. Obviously, the 1-6 start, then you rally, and it's 8-2. You see the running backs on the roster trending in a better direction heading into 2023, and then the bombshell happens. You hear that Deuce Staley is going to move on and coach the running backs potentially, or work with the offense with the Carolina Panthers. I thought that came out of left field, but you hear about the personal reasons potentially that Deuce had to make this decision. But I don't think you just so easily replace coaches and expect that everything will transition seamlessly. So what was your reaction, and how much of an impact will losing Deuce Staley off this coaching staff, how much will it impact the Lions offense?
Yeah, it was... I think my feelings first and foremost was just surprise, because it didn't really seem like he would go anywhere. And I know we had both our offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator in the head coaching interview circuit. And Deuce Staley, I know that's probably his end goal, is to become a head coach. And he wasn't getting his name out there. So I don't know. It sounded like it was family related with why he left, and that's totally understandable. But it just seemed like Deuce Staley was an integral part of this coaching staff. And yeah, he's only the running back coach, but he's also the assistant head coach. And it's kind of tough to say exactly how much he did in that role and how much input he had. But I still feel like the Lions are fine. But, you know, it's just, I think Staley's personality and everything he brought, you know, the intangibles and being a former player. And we saw in Hard Knocks just the way he interacted and kind of got his offense fired up and really, you know, made it a competition every single day in practice. I think that might hurt a little bit, but overall, I'm not overly concerned, but it's just surprising. And here we talked about all offseason about how coaches want to stay in Detroit and, you know, players want to be in Detroit. So it's just a little bit against the grain for having a coach, the assistant head coach, to leave.
Yeah, we do have an opportunity even to take a look at the job that Deuce Staley did this, you know, on this episode. The running game was really something that when you entered this year, everybody looked at it and said, okay, when you build an offensive line with the caliber of players that the Lions did, the investments that were made in Penei Sewell and the obvious investments in the first round from other regimes that have taken, you know, members of the offensive line, and you realize, okay, this Lions team was built in the trenches, and it starts with the offensive line. That was the strength of the team. Now, early in the year, you felt like, okay, it's a point of emphasis. The Lions offense wants to run the ball. But it just seemed like, you know, the health of the roster with DeAndre Swift really, I thought, kind of hindered the running attack and the kind of nature in which you think this offense could purr with a running game. And it just kind of, you never felt like you got the full evaluation of what the running game could become. Now, once DeAndre Swift got healthier in the second half of the year and you added Jameson Williams, a lot more players came back. DJ Chark returned and it kind of opened things up a lot more. You saw DeAndre Swift out of the passing game. You saw the ability to rush the football over 4 yards a clip with Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift all together. But in my mind, am I inaccurate or was I looking too critically? I just felt like the running game could do more because I always looked to, when I grew up, I saw, you know, great running backs. You see now in the present, you see Jonathan Taylor and what he can become. You saw LaDainian Tomlinson back in the day, Emmitt Smith with the Cowboys, just kind of that guy that I can give the ball to 20, 25 times and he gets stronger. For me, I would love a Derrick Henry bell cow back. Now, I know the league doesn't do that as much, but there are running backs that we can look to and say, man, when Derrick Henry gets the football, it seems like in the third and fourth quarter, he gets stronger and he has the ability to get those extra yards because of the sheer power runner that he is. And it feels like that's what was missing from this Lions offense. And I don't know if they had the caliber, if it was coaching, but it just felt like the running game had its ups and downs all throughout the year. I think that you could take a serious look and say, okay, maybe the next running backs coach with a different, maybe a little bit of a different philosophy, with a different type of back that's brought into the roster might actually get you to where you have the running game that I think Dan Campbell wants for this offense.
For sure. The running game, especially after the first couple weeks of the season, I thought it was going to be a little bit better than it was. And it went through lulls and it just seemed like they couldn't get much moving. But you look at the Lions offensive line and it's a really talented unit, and having Penei Sewell and Frank Ragnow in the Pro Bowl and Taylor Decker being very underrated, I guess. Pro Bowl voting isn't everything, but him being a fifth alternate, I felt like that was kind of a snub. I felt like he should have been higher. And then Jonah Jackson made the Pro Bowl last year. And yeah, that right guard spot is a little bit up in the air, and it wouldn't hurt to improve that. But it's not often that you look at any NFL team and they have five great offensive linemen. There's always going to be a weaker point, and that's the right guard for the Lions. I still feel like they should have had a little bit better of a running game. And I do think that when the Lions needed to run the ball, they were pretty good at it. I think there was a lot of times in the fourth quarter in that 4 minute drill, that situation where they just need to run out the clock. In years past, especially like Stafford years, that never happened. You couldn't run the ball three times and get a first down. The Lions were better at that this year, but I still think there's room for improvement. I still think the running game can get better. I still think there's potential, and a lot of that's going to fall on the running backs too. What happens with Jamal Williams in the offseason? DeAndre Swift, if he can remain healthy, but he hasn't shown that he can stay perfectly healthy, and no running back, there's not a lot of running backs that can. Those are really hard to find. But just having a little bit more power in Swift's game, I think we know what he is at this point, and that's great. He is an electric player, but it would, that true bell cow, Jamal Williams, he's close, but he's just not as of a dynamic player as some. So I don't know. Again, it's tough to say as a running backs coach how much it impacts running backs. I feel like running back is such a instinctual position where you either have it or you don't. You have the vision or you don't. I don't think there's a ton of developing that goes on at the running back position once a guy gets into the NFL. That's why you have all these rookies that can come in and succeed right away. And it's so much depends on the offensive line as well. So there's a lot of different factors in the running game that go into it. I don't think a running back's coach is all that important when you have so many different things going on. And a lot depends on the offensive coordinator, how they set up these runs as well, and game situation. So it's a really convoluted part of the game is what dictates, you know, a good running game. And there's always the chicken and the egg theory. It's like, oh, if you have a good offensive line, you can have any running back, or if you have a great running back, it can compensate for a poor offensive line. So I'm not too concerned at this point, but it's just, yeah, it's a little disappointing because Deuce Staley was a really likable guy and brought a lot of energy, and it was fun to have him around, but, you know, wishing him the best.
Yeah, and you saw that, you see the premise of what can be an effective running game and how they want to use DeAndre Swift out of the backfield, the explosiveness, and then you kind of see that he has that home run threat ability when he does actually hit the hole and stays healthy. And unfortunately, right from the get-go in the Philadelphia Eagles game, he just got rocked in regards to shoulder and leg injury, and it just hindered him and his progress all throughout the year. He never really got healthy until maybe the last 3 weeks of the year, if that. And so now you look at it and you say, I think they do want to bring they do want to run it back with both of them, but there is an opportunity to upgrade if you potentially want to bring in that bell cow running back. There is an opportunity to do that if you can find somebody that you trust in the draft or via free agency that can get the ball 20 times and get you those tough yards. And then I think that's what you're missing. You have the reliable red zone target and the guy that you want to give the power and the credit to and the emotional leader in Jamal Williams. You have DeAndre Swift who can take it to the house, and he's going to be on a contract year, which makes me believe that he's going to ball out, that he's probably going to have his healthiest year. He's going to want to put as much good film out there because the money that he could garner over the next 3 years following 2023 is substantial if he has a serious season. And I think that's what he's going to be targeting, is to have his best year of his career, which will benefit the Lions. But I think that if you bring in that piece, that's an area of upgrade that people aren't really talking about because of their heavy focus on defense. But if you get a reliable running back that can be, you know, as close to Derrick Henry as possible, then it's a great opportunity to be able to take this the next step, not only to get to the playoffs, get to the tournament, as Dan Campbell says, but the opportunity to win in the postseason when you need to close it out, like you said, get those tough yards and to be able to handle business. And you'd love to see it because this team has the makings of a team that you notice across the league is built in a way that can have success moving forward. So now with Deuce Daly leaving, do you look to someone on the staff? Is there a name you've read about? Is there a former player that potentially could come in? It kind of lends to maybe somebody on the staff or a former player. You know, you see in regards to the new cornerback hire that was made, you odds on can start to look at maybe a DeMarco Murray. You look at who's out there, and there are potential some players that are out there. I think the name that made me laugh, and I don't want to be rude or anything like that, but when I, you know, read that people were clamoring for Barry Sanders, I thought that was funny because there is a caveat, guys. It's not just all former players. They have to have at least some level of coaching experience. So I would be shocked if Dan Campbell and the news came out and it was, hey, Barry Sanders. And the other name that had me laughing, like I said, no disrespect, but that was a name that obviously kind of was synonymous with not the greatest level of success, but Kevin Smith. I just think that, you know, Kevin Smith, Barry Sanders don't make my first power ranking list of candidates that could replace Deuce Daly. What did you think of that? And I think that's funny, you know, a little levity here. People clamoring for Barry Sanders to join the coaching staff.
that'd be a lot of fun. It'd be interesting. You know, one of the best running back of all time in my mind, but at the same time, it doesn't mean he's a great coach. I don't even know if he'd want to do that, but it's always easy to find a former player and a familiar name and insert him in Dan Campbell's lineup of all these former players he has. And, you know, Dre Bly, obviously no exception there. But to me, it's just running back coach. It's not like I pay close attention to running back coaches in the NFL, who they are on every team and who the Lions could poach. Cause I just don't think it's of all the positions. Yeah. I mentioned it earlier, the running back position is just so instinctual. A coach is important, but I don't know how much of a difference it's going to make. So I really haven't looked all that deep into who could replace him. I think the assistant head coach title is probably the most important and compared to just a running back coach, or if you're looking for an assistant head coach. And I think you could just bring a guy along like any running back coach, as long as they're familiar, they have experience. You know, I'm not totally against it, but I don't think bringing in a guy like Barry Sanders is going to change anything like that for the running back group. And Kevin Smith, it's interesting because he does have some experience and he is familiar with things, and it's nice having just familiarity with names, I guess. But again, overall, I am not too concerned, and whoever replaces Deuce Daly, I think they should be all right.
Now, looking to the other side of the football, you heard a name that kind of, you heard whispers that the Lions were looking and were in the market for a new defensive backs coach. Obviously, Aubrey Pleasant was dismissed, and you had Brian Duker, the safeties coach, along with Aaron Glenn and other assistants working with the defensive backs. But you needed somebody with swagger. You needed somebody that could come in, and I don't think there was a better choice than Dre Bly. I think that's a great, great hire because, one, He knows the Lions culture. He's been part of it too. He had success and was quite underrated when he was here in Detroit. Now, he did make some waves with some comments that he made toward the organization, but at that time when there's frustrations are high, I don't even think they're frowned upon because his comments were honest. Joey Harrington was not the best quarterback for the Detroit Lions, and when you're a member of the roster and you've seen Jeff Garcia have some success or at least move the football a little bit better than Joey Harrington was, Dre Bly came out and was outspoken about some things, and that's what a leader does. Now he's taken the opportunity, has coached in college, now has the opportunity, obviously with a relationship with the assistant GM and Ray Agnew. They played together on the Rams Super Bowl team. Now you bring him in, and I think that's going to be a great partnership. I see a lot of benefits for Dre Bly being able to work with Jeff Okuda, maybe one or two young defensive backs that are brought in the draft. He understands the culture. Right away, he's going to understand from the outside what Dan Campbell is looking for, and I think that this has a chance to be very, very successful. I think he brings everything to the table that you would want. Unfortunately, his time in Carolina is tough. Obviously, you know, well-respected by Mac Brown there, the coach of the Tar Heels. But unfortunately, the talent level that goes to Carolina is not that high. So there is a little bit of, you got to look at that, the defensive backs that played with the Tar Heels weren't exactly that great. And the last 4 years, obviously, they weren't world beaters. But I think that when you transition to the National Football League with a lot higher caliber of talent, I think the premise of what you want, dude had a lot of interceptions when he was here in Detroit, and he did it in a flashy style. And I think that added level of swagger, I think the techniques he can teach, the ability to be ball hawking, I think will be great. And Duker and Dre Bly being that the Lions are looking for defensive backs that need to be around the football and that can make plays. I think working with Jerry Jacobs, Jeff Okuda, one or two more that are added to the roster, I think this was a really, really solid hire that can help the secondary because, boy, does that group need it.
Yeah, and Dre Bly, yeah, he had a bit of a rocky, you know, his coaching experience in North Carolina, but you mentioned it. It's not like he was dealing with any great talent, so that can be tough. But from a guy who just knows how to make plays and understands the game, he was one of my favorite Detroit Lions. He was a true playmaker, and that's tough to find. And you're not always going to be able to translate your playmaking instincts as a coach over to other players, but you know he knows what it takes. It's not like Dre Bly was this big physical corner. He was undersized, but he just knew how to play the game and he knew how to be in the right spot and to make plays. And that's what we need from the Lions corners, is for them to make a few more plays. And the group probably needs to be a little bit more talent needs to be added. And I think the Lions will do that. But Dre Bly, again, right on cue with, you know, having a former player, NFL player who had a lot of success that I think the younger players can look up to and know that he knows what it takes and can get the job done. So I'm excited for it. After Aubrey Pleasant left, the secondary did seem to improve. And Aaron Glenn, maybe you could give him credit for that, but they still had issues. So Dre Bly, yeah, I'm good with it. I'm happy he's back. And I think, you know, hoping it works out for the best.
When you look at the secondary, what do they need to improve upon? Going from what you saw, yes, because it is real interesting because obviously the stats that come out collectively, because the team did start 1-6, they had some outlier performances with the Dolphins and the Seahawks, which were just abysmal defensive performances, but they were a top 15 defense in the second half of the year. So I look at it and I say, okay, what needs to improve? Yes, when you add to the defensive line, that can help the secondary. When you add one more potential stud, I think you probably will be better served to add a cornerback in free agency, someone that understands the game and understands sort of what the Lions are looking for, then in the draft, because it just takes time. Cornerbacks don't just come in typically and just start securing a bunch of interceptions and making plays and things like that. And you're not going to invest probably the number 6 pick in a cornerback. I think that would be maybe a, you know, not the best value pick based on what's out there. You know, defensive line could provide immediate impact, and I think personally that's what the Lions need. So So you look at the secondary, what do they need to do better? Obviously, you're going to get one new addition to go along with Okuda, who's going to have another offseason to work in this system. He's going to be back. He's going to have an opportunity to grow again in this system. Whether he'll be successful, now this is the year to decipher what you're going to do, so that I think they're going to decline the fifth-year option. I think that's just in the nature of how this is going to go based on his injury, and they still need to see more. So for me, I need to see a cornerback that can come in. I think a veteran, age 25 to 27, that understands the game, knows how to make plays, is solid, won't be out of place in terms of where he needs to be, understands coverage, understands what the Lions are trying to accomplish. And when you have that, I think you'll have less situations where there's miscommunications, the situations where, you know, against the Panthers, where they were able to have a little bit of success in big games, players that will step up. What do you think the secondary needs to do in this upcoming year to kind of take the step forward?
Yeah, I think adding a veteran would go a long ways because, Imani Aruari, I think he was the oldest player in that group. Mike Hughes, I know, was he's probably almost 26 in that range as well. But, a veteran could go a long ways, and a guy who has experience and you know what he is at this point, whereas with Okuda, I feel like we don't really know what he is at this point. But I think it's really important to note that the last two off seasons, he's been dealing with recovering from injuries. And this year, you know, it typically takes a while to come back from an Achilles. And Okuda looked like he was all right physically, but I still think he can probably get better. And, you know, all this off season to really be able to train and do everything he needs to do should help out as well. But Okuda, I think, yeah, we need him to step up. I think the Lions need to get some sort of veteran that can at least come in and be a serviceable starter if need be. Because Jerry Jacobs, I think he's fine, and he has his limitations. You look at his athletic profile. I don't necessarily think, you know, he's ever going to be a shutdown corner or anything like that. But you like what Jerry Jacobs can provide. But it's at the same time, you could probably upgrade on that. And I also think the Lions need to look in the draft. This is a very talented and loaded cornerback class. And I think, yeah, it might not be at 6, but at 18, where they're selecting in the first round, I still think there should be a lot of talent there. And it might marry up perfectly where the Lions have a position of need, and also the best player available will probably be a cornerback, or at least comparable to other positions where that cornerback is going to be near the top of the board. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I hope they address the cornerback position. The offensive line the defensive line is very important for cornerbacks as well. They got to be able to get home. And I think having maybe a couple defensive tackles that can help provide more of a pass rush to go a long way as well. So there's a lot of different things involved when it comes to cornerback play. I just think ultimately the Lions need to inject more talent into that group. And if the pass rush can continue developing and all their young guys can improve upon a really solid 2022 season, it's only going to help the defensive secondary as well.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see as the combine approaches. The Senior Bowl just concluded. The game is going to take place. But for the most part, most of the pundits leave after the couple days of practice. Lots of interesting, you know, nuggets that have come out. Obviously, Jaden Reed and Ronnie Bell did well. They performed at a high level. You've seen some tight ends that kind of made waves. What was interesting to me was the fact that the quarterbacks, nobody really stood out. And it makes sense because a lot of what makes a quarterback successful is timing with receivers. And what makes me laugh is the last couple years, it just seems like the quarterbacks in practice just struggle with holding the ball, ball security, fumble snaps, connecting with receivers, low screens, you know, their accuracy is not as great because the timing is not there. You don't just pick up a football and just start tossing it and have rhythm and space and accuracy and everything like that. But by and large, you heard a couple quarterbacks make some waves and make some noise. I think that was great in that all the pundits that went down there, they had their impression of what was going on and things like that. You look at everything that kind of occurred around Mobile, Alabama. It kind of kicks off draft season. And I think if you've paid attention to All Lions, to the other great sites out there that were covering it, it looks like Jake Haner from Fresno State was probably the cream of the crop, even though it wasn't like an overwhelming performance. it kind of led to, you know, reports that the quarterbacks were unspectacular, but that Jake Haener took advantage as much as possible out there. Others, I think the name that you're going to want to pay attention to at the cornerback spot is Caillou Blue Kelly out of Stanford. He's the cornerback that many people believe, you know, is somebody that could be projected in the later rounds. Not as high as Joey Porter Jr. and Christian Gonzalez, but he helped his stock. So I'll ask you this, okay? I don't think number six is going to be allocated to Kalee Ringo or Joey Porter or the likes of the other top cornerbacks. At number 18, have you honed in on somebody that potentially could be the guy in the first round? Because I think you could sell that to the fan base. I think more people, I think it's kind of a little bit split between Joey Porter Jr. and Christian Gonzalez. A lot of people also like Kalee Ringo. Has somebody earned the spot that you think should be targeted by the Lions or anybody else that you heard of, another riser from the Senior Bowl? Because I do think that the better talent in the cornerback spot, at least, is higher up in the draft this year.
Yeah, and Christian Gonzalez, you know, I feel like he's been rising up the ranks. There's even been a couple mock drafts, had him go to the Lions at six. And all these cornerbacks in this class, the top cornerbacks are all above 6 foot. And even guys like Christian Gonzalez and Joey Porter and Ringo. And Ringo's been dropping down boards, has all the athletic profile to look for. But all three of those guys I mentioned are like 6'2" and great wingspan, athletic. Christian Gonzalez, like, very athletic. And that's what you want, the measurables at the cornerback spot, because the cornerback position is such a difficult position. You're guarding some of the best athletes in the NFL, but you also have to be able to get your hands on the ball, because that's ultimately the deciding factor, I think, between the top cornerbacks in the NFL and just the average cornerbacks. There's a lot of the best athletes are pretty much always at corner, but if you don't have that natural ability, that playmaker gene, you're not ever going to be considered a top cornerback. And when you're looking for someone in the first round, you want playmakers. And I think so. Christian Gonzalez has that. Cam Smith, I feel like he's been dropping down a little bit too, out of the first round, even same with Ringo. And those were guys that, you know, just a few months ago were always in that first round conversation. So I think they will be available at 18. But personally, Devon Witherspoon from Illinois, I think he's the top cornerback on a lot of people's boards I've been seeing. And he's a 6 foot, which is still a good size, but on the lighter side. But you want a playmaker, he's got that. So I think at 18, I'd be super happy if Witherspoon or Gonzalez and even Porter were there. And I imagine one of them will be there, and a lot will depend on the combine. If one of these guys runs a slow 40, you know, that's that's a killer for cornerbacks. You gotta have that athletic profile. But it sure looks like on film most of these guys do, and that's probably the most important part, is how fast are you on the field. And sometimes, even if you're not as fast, if you play faster on the field, you can kind of overlook some of those measurables. But to me, I really want to wait till the combine and see where these guys test out and who looks the best. But I really like, yeah, there's a lot of good options at corner, and I think there's got to be one there at 18 for the Lions.
Yeah, I love it. Love breaking down potential additions. Now, one last note before we get out of here. I love this time of year because not only do we look at the draft, Senior Bowl, combine, but at the same time, you look at free agent fits. A lot of content in regards to which kind of player would fit. And so you have to, I know, okay, guys, we understand. We know what Brad Holmes said, that in his track record, it's very unlikely that this move is going to be made, but that doesn't preclude us from talking about it. That's why I fire it up every morning. That's why I like to talk to Logan and talk to pundits that cover sports, is that you can talk about potential, what it would be like if this player were on the team. Now, just because it might not happen doesn't preclude us. That's what sports is about. It's about talking. Well, what if they did this? What would it look like? When I first read it, was like everybody else, $14 million a season for safety Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Ah, that's way too high. No way. That's not something that you think the Lions would do. But then you look at it, he had 6 interceptions. He's playing on the Eagles, who targeted him from the Saints. He's going to be expecting a massive deal. But he's a playmaker, and he understands what Aaron Glenn wants. So he's ready-made. So I would do it. You know, it's not something where you realize, okay, guys, if, and you have to look at it because people always get so fixated on the cap, like there's no opportunity to get more. The Lions can add $25 million more in the cap, plus the cap went up $16 million. So if you can tailor a deal, if you can get some kind of discount for this athlete, you know, instead of the 5 years, you get 4 years and a lot more guaranteed. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson makes your secondary better. I know he's expensive. I know he's going to come with a hefty price tag. I know the Eagles probably will try and keep him. But if the Eagles win, he's got his ring. He's going to be happy. I think the Lions should at least have the conversation to bring him in because you put him alongside Kirby Joseph and then Tracy Walker with depth while he works his way back from injury. I'm talking about a safety group that Aaron Glenn has said is important. This group is important. I like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I like what he brings to the table, and he brings that swagger and that ability to be around the football that makes your secondary great. I think he can be a leader. Now, I think the odds are low, 20%, that they even have the conversations because of what he's going to be expecting, but I think he's a guy that you could target that would be a fit right away in this defense.
No, he definitely would. You know, he has familiarity, being that he was with the Saints, started his career, and you know, he was actually my guy going into the NFL draft too, and we drafted Will Harris. And I think in a lot of ways, I think he would actually fill what Will Harris has provided for the Lions, because he's a very versatile player. You know, he's spent about half his time at free safety, half his time either in the box or in the slot. So he's movable, and you kind of need that chess piece as a safety. And I think Kirby Joseph is probably more considered a deep safety, and I think we saw his best plays come from when Kirby Joseph was in the center as a center fielder and able to just kind of do his ball hawking responsibilities. But yeah, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I think it all depends on the price tag, and I think he probably will be pricier, but he's still younger. He's only 25 years old, and that's the type of free agents you want. Even more so for the Lions, but you want younger players that can be here for a while. If you're going to pay a guy, pay a 25-year-old that has shown promise and the ability to make plays. And so I think that would be the quickest way to probably upgrade the secondary. And it's tough when you already have Kirby Joseph and Tracy Walker. Yes, he's coming back from an injury as your safeties, but if you can use Gardner-Johnson in the slot role as well, the Lions need a slot cornerback. And so I think as long as you have a playmaker there and you can be very versatile and adjustable and do a lot of different things with your defense because he has that versatility, I think that would really help. So I'm on board with going after him. And I don't want to say overpay for him, but I'd be fine if he's their one guy where they want to give him a lot of money, because it would be an instant boost to that secondary.
Love it. Love it. That's what I'm talking about. The ability to improve the team. He would look good in a Lions uniform. I think it'd be great. And I'm excited too, because the news broke that Sean Payton now is back in the league. Dan Campbell is going to coach against his former mentor. So that opens up a nice storyline for 2023. Things are looking good. I think that what will be a telltale sign regarding the progress of the Lions is when you have a good football team, other teams are going to want to poach what you have. And I hate to say it this way, but obviously, it's always great when a head coach can, or when an assistant coach or a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator has the potential to interview and things like that. And I know it's been bantied about and things like that. What's your confidence level? This will be our last topic here. What's your confidence level in Aaron Glenn? Because for me, obviously, if Ben Johnson were to leave, you're like, oh boy, I have the fear that the offense might not be able to get to the same level or advance to where I think it's going to be in 2023. If the Colts or Cardinals want to look to culture and want to look to bring in a coach maybe that has the NFL swagger that maybe appeals to what the players want, I don't think I'd be that upset if Aaron Glenn left. And here's the thing. I feel like potentially there's an opportunity to maybe go out and upgrade at the defensive coordinator spot. Now, that doesn't mean that Aaron Glenn can grow, that there's more talent. But I think that Aaron Glenn, for whatever reason, just hasn't maybe in-game or consistency throughout starting a season. Whatever the reason may be, the defense just hasn't taken that big step forward consistently enough. And you look at it in the biggest games, I don't understand how against the Panthers, when the strategy is to stop the run for everybody to fall flat and to miss the mark. That's telling. And that indicates, okay, that probably would look like, in my mind, my opinion would be if the Lions were to secure a spot in the postseason, that's what it would have looked like against the 49ers. Christian McCaffrey would have went apeshit and ran for 200 yards, and it wouldn't have mattered without a quarterback. They just would have been able to power through the Lions' defense. So where are you at in regards to Aaron Glenn leaving? You think that he can potentially get better and that with another draft class with some more picks at linebacker, defensive line, probably three more impactful defensive players, do you see an upside with Aaron Glenn? Or are you like maybe like some that say, well, it's nice to hear his name associated with other jobs because maybe the next guy comes in can be the guy that takes it to the next level on defense?
Well, you know, looking at between the two coordinators, Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, yeah, it was Ben Johnson, I felt like that would have been a big loss. And Aaron Glenn, I, you know, looking at the talent level he's been working with, all the young players and just the development of all these rookies and second year players that, you know, he's kind of led, I do think that's impressive. And I think there's a lot of room for improvement, and you add some more pieces to his defense, and I think it can get a lot better. And for the most part, I like what Glenn has done, but at the same time, I'm not going to say I would be super upset if he left. I would like some continuity. I'd like all these players that he's been developing to have just some another year with him and see what they can do. But it kind of in the same way as Deuce Staley with him leaving. Aaron Glenn as a coordinator, I think he has a lot more responsibilities, so that would hurt. And I don't necessarily think there's a succession plan in place for him right now where they could easily just call someone up from their staff to make the defensive coordinator. So I think it's easy to get worse, and there's potential it could be better from another coach, but I just don't know who that coach would be at this time. So I hope Aaron Glenn stays. I like what he's done. There's definitely been some games where, you know, just face palm, like what is happening here? How is the Panthers game specifically, like just stop the run should have been the only thing they should have tried to be doing, and they couldn't do it. But there's going to be outliers in every season where it's just not a good look. But overall, I want Aaron Glenn to stay, but if he leaves, I don't think it's, you can't overcome it, but it just might be tough for this upcoming season, trying to find a replacement for him and not losing any of the development that the Lions have been. And I do think the Lions in free agency in the draft will probably add quite a few more players. And I look forward to what Aaron Glenn should be able to do with having more talent, because the talent has just not been there for him. And I've always kind of given him a pass a little bit, but with all these young guys, and I think you have to give him credit for the development of his young guys. All these young guys have been great, and it gives you encouragement for the future. But that's where I stand overall. It's not the end of the world if they lose Glenn. I think they'll get a couple draft picks out of it. If he becomes a head coach, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. But, I would like him to return.
Man, I could talk with Logan for 2 hours about the Detroit Lions, but this was a nice broadcast, getting his sense of what's going on with the Lions as we speak. Make sure you subscribe to the All Lions podcast anywhere that you listen to your favorite broadcast. Our content can find you by just hitting that subscribe button. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. You can follow Logan on Twitter at LLamorandeer. You can follow All Lions at Detroit Podcast. If anything that we've said hits a nerve, hit us up at Detroit Podcast. Make sure to visit All Lions for your daily highlights, analysis, speculation, keeping tabs with everything going on regarding the Detroit Lions. This week was very much so a week in which a lot of players were talking, a lot of insight in regards to what Taylor Decker felt about Deuce Daly leaving, DJ Chark. Check out, you know, obviously check out All Lions in your podcast mix, but if there's another podcast you want to listen to, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Equanimeous St. Brown are in the podcast game with the 33rd team, and they're doing great work bringing on Lions, asking good questions, and I love it. I love the podcast space because more and more are into it, and more are understanding It's an outlet to get your thoughts across, and Amon-Ra St. Brown has it. He knows what to ask. He literally went out there and asked DJ Chark about Jameson Williams. He asked tough questions about free agency, and Amon-Ra St. Brown understands what the mission is in regards to broadcasting. So love the podcast space, love being involved with it, and make sure you stay tuned to the All Lions podcast as we bring you coverage, insights, analysis of everything going on with the Lions this offseason. And make sure you follow Logan as well. He brings you factual, straight knowledge, right to the point, right to the source. And that's why we love talking to him on the All Lions podcast. Thanks, everybody. Let's check back in very soon.